Thursday morning, comrades. It's time for Freedom Frenzy. As I said, good morning, and it's the best one we have to work with. And this is the last one for March 2011, because it's the 31st. My name is Jerry DeMars. I'm joined by my co-host, who is lurking somewhere out there in Texas, Jenny Hodges. And together, we're going to bring you, I think, a relatively interesting show, and relative being a relative term. We are supposed to have a guest on with us a little bit later today, probably at the bottom end of the first half hour. And it's Daniel Miller, who represents the Texas Nationalist Group. And you know, Dennis, or excuse me, Daniel Miller never did send me a cut sheet, so I don't exactly know what their mission statement is or anything like that. So we're really going to have to dig in and pry some information out of Daniel, who seems to be a little bit bashful. Jenny, you've had contact with him. Can you share or shed any light on that?
Oh, sure. Everyone should go to the TexasNationalist.com website to check out what Daniel is working toward. Clearly, secession is a big issue. On the front page of the website, he has the legality of secession, an article on that. Some of the things that he points out, which I think are kind of fun, we get bogged down. We start thinking, oh, we're never going to have a gold-based monetary system. The United States is always going to be, we're never going to be free. It's never going to be broken up into states being country states, et cetera, and so on and so forth. And we really have this instant mentality when it comes to the forward progression of history. Well, one of the things that Daniel references is the fact that secession was illegal in the Assyrian Empire until the Babylonians successfully seceded in 615 BC. The Persian Empire once spanned most of the known world. It was the most powerful entity. Secession was most assuredly illegal. The British Empire was once upon a time the most powerful empire in the world. And this band of rebels with no money, a ragtag army, asserted the fact that they had inalienable rights and they weren't going to be trampled by an empire. And that can happen once again. Also, he's got other interesting, informative bits. They're distributing letters from the Alamo to bring back to everyone's mind what is the historical background for the state of Texas, which stands separate from the rest of the states in the Union. And I hope Daniel will elaborate some on that for our listeners. It kind of begs the question, I think, why the people who are in the state liberty movement who tend to gravitate toward a particular state to try to take over a state, why wouldn't everybody be gravitating toward Texas, since Texas it stands different and on a different status in terms of secession in the states and in the Union. So there's a lot of interesting information. There's also an Adopt a Beach spring cleanup. You know, so obviously this organization is very interested in taking care of the land that we have and the responsibilities we have to care for it. Stuff on the economy, stuff on Ron Paul, and so on and so forth. So it will be a very interesting interview with Daniel Miller. He seems to have a lot going on. When I check on him in Facebook, he seems to always be active. I get email announcements about different events and opportunities to hear him speak and hear other speakers on current events and the way the future seems to be shaping up for the positive in terms of the Texas nationalist movement. So it'll be a good interview. Did I lose you, Jerry? All by myself.
No, I think it's going to be a good interview too, dear. I didn't want to jump in and walk all over you, so I didn't say much. But I anticipate it's going to be kind of interesting because this is a mindset that undoubtedly will gain acceptance going forward as things continue to deteriorate here in the good old U.S. of A. We're going to cut away to a break, and we'll be right back with Hit and Run News. So grab something warm or get somebody warm next to you. We'll be right back.
Don't answer it. If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Again, and it's time for Hit and Run News. And Jenny, you're going to be pleasantly surprised because most of the items I have today are hits, which is very much unlike me. But as I explained to you during the break, yesterday evening was kind of an odd experience. That said, let me kick this off. Yesterday, that being Wednesday, the FDA and the EPA advised that very low levels of radiation had been discovered in milk samples from Washington State. Federal officials also assured consumers that they shouldn't worry. In fact, the FDA indicated that the finding of increased levels of radiation had actually been expected, and we should be comfortable with other revelations in days to come. They attributed the situation, of course, to the ongoing nuclear calamity that is still developing in Japan. Indications were also provided that they expected levels to drop off relatively rapidly, presuming, of course, if the situation in Japan gets no worse. Back to you, dear.
Sorry, I had you on mute, so that way nobody could hear my phone, which is buzzing a bit. I'm communicating with Representative Bobby Franklin. They've got a fun substitute on the House floor to properly handle Obamacare, which is the perfect Republican solution. And part of the Substitution for a bill had includes a portion that federal funds will not be used for abortion services unless the father of the baby is an alleged criminal, meaning if the father raped the mother or is related to the mother, then the baby can be murdered using federal funds. And also there's another bit in it. It just cracks me up how Republicans find ways to validate prenatal murder. You know, the compassion of the wicked, or the compassion of the wicked is cruel. That's what the proverb is. All right. Well, I've got a very interesting bit, Jerry. And, you know, prayer is a very powerful thing. And I don't think any of us understand the power of prayer and understand the power that God gives us in allowing us to come into his throne room with our repentance and our requests. And now there is a study proving through quantum physics that prayer works, that there's an interconnected dynamic going on in the universe where we are engaged in the apparent physical reality that we experience. And also quantum physics proves the non-locality properties of our universe, meaning that one thing can affect another thing in another place instantly, even faster than the speed of light would seem to indicate was possible. And this is where, you know, when Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to these mountains, rise up and cast yourselves into the sea. And, you know, there are instances in the Bible where angels stand ready to help God's saints if they ask. If they don't ask, there's no help. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing there where we're commanded to pray and God expects us to be obedient to that command. And I've already referenced that case where Daniel, you know, was praying to the Lord, and the angel Michael that came to him said, because of your penitence, the Lord has heard your prayer, and the importance of coming into the throne room of God in a penitent spirit. Okay, well, all of that to say, Jerry, because I know you're curious, is Jenny preaching again? No. Dr. Emoto, the scientist famous for documenting and sharing the memory of water, has put out a global call for assistance with the Fukushima catastrophe in Japan. Basically, he has made scientifically evident that conscious intention directed toward the healing of a person, a place, or even entire ocean has a real and measurable impact on the chosen recipient. This is kind of a scientist's understanding of prayer. And so Dr. Emoto has put out a worldwide request for assisting Japan through prayers, specifically about their water situation at the nuclear plants, and so on and so forth. Naturalnews.com had a very interesting article about it. And there's a very interesting bit here on going through the particulars, how you equate prayer scientifically. So I would encourage you guys to go check it out. I definitely would encourage all of you to engage your hearts and minds in serious meditative prayer to the Lord in a repentant attitude, and asking the Lord for hands-on specific things in transforming our country and our world. And I think especially praying about the nuclear disaster going on in Japan, the radiation that's now being measurable in milk in Washington State and in other things. But of course, you know, it's kind of like if you're faced with a person in the emergency room who's had all four limbs suddenly cut off, and bleeding profusely from all places, what do you do to save them? I almost feel like America has, and the world has reached this point. And so you can't possibly pray enough. And it's just a very interesting article on Natural News on a scientist's view of the impact and immediate impact that can be measurable and proven through quantum physics of prayer on our current reality.
That's interesting. You know, and if while you're at it, you might want to put a P.S. in there that he could deal with the Treasurer's crowd that's in Washington, D.C., too, if he's got a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And I think praying in a positive, praying when you see chemtrails outside your window, you need to get on your knees and start praying that the Lord would remove those pollutants from the air, that the Lord would clean the air, that the Lord would protect the people that are in the way of the chemtrails. I mean, there's serious hands-on ways. And of course, we do this in front of abortion clinics. We're in front of abortion clinics, we immediately start engaging in very specific prayer. And I think that we would, first of all, we'll have more peace about it. But second of all, we'll see results right away. The Lord stands ready to come to our aid. And so he wants to hear from us in a repentant, penitent fashion, cloaked with the righteousness of Christ. So y'all go get in the throne room.
Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Libyan rebels seeking to oust Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi have been dealt a series of setbacks on the battlefield, adding increased substantiation to U.S. government opinion that the poorly equipped opposition is likely incapable of prevailing without intense Western intervention in the form of an all-out military assault featuring United States-led military forces against those loyal to Gaddafi, or a decision to arm the rebels. Gaddafi's military has reacted to the American-led air intervention, one ostensibly undertaken to establish the so-called no-fly zone, with new, and some say unconventional tactics designed to thwart the effectiveness of those coalition air and missile strikes. Gaddafi, having committed fresh reinforcements, may now be of the mind that he can maintain control by slowly pushing the rebel forces out of hard-won positions in the eastern portion of the country, depriving them of potential oil wealth with which to resupply and rearm, assuming, of course, that the coalition doesn't expand their participation as previously outlined. But the likelihood that President Obama will curtail any expansion of American involvement has now melted like a snow cone in the Sinai. Government officials reported Wednesday that President Barack Obama has signed a secret order that authorizes covert U.S. government support for rebel forces seeking to remove the Libyan leader. Obama signed the order, known as a presidential finding, in quotation marks, within the last two or three weeks, according to four U.S. government sources familiar with the matter. Such findings are a principal form of presidential directive used to authorize secret operations by the Central Intelligence Agency. When asked, the CIA and the White House declined immediate comment. This development does actually mesh quite neatly with yet another revelation out of Libya. The Libyan National Council, the Benghazi-based group that speaks for the rebel forces fighting the Gaddafi regime, has appointed a longtime CIA collaborator, Khalifa Hifter, a former colonel in the Libyan army, to head its military operations. Does anyone know in what section of the Constitution references pertaining to these findings might be located? I suspect it'll be close to the section about executive orders being used to promulgate law. I've never been able to locate either one of those, though. Well, maybe you can help me out. Back to you, dear.
All right. Intel Daily has a very interesting bit on nuclear waste in America, which is piling up and nothing is being done about it, even though there is $24 billion that have been taxed from consumers and is now sitting in a nuclear waste fund that can't actually be used to pay for a safer way to store the waste at reactors. This is just typical government creates problem, government creates solution. B does not cancel A. In 1982, under Ronald Reagan, Congress passed the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, and the federal government effectively struck a deal with the nuclear industry. That should be our first clue there's a major problem. Reactor operators and their customers would pay a tax on the waste they produced, and the government would contract with them, essentially, to create a safe haven for nuclear waste. Well, the problem is nobody can figure out what a safe haven for nuclear waste looks like. We got to cut right to a break. We'll be back in a moment. Y'all stay with us. This is Freedom Frenzy.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease. A phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
We're waiting for Daniel Miller to join us this morning, so we'll throw a little bit more information at you. And as you digest what I'm fixing to say, bear in mind that food and energy are excluded from the core measurements of inflation insofar as the Consumer Price Index is concerned. Yesterday, the Hershey Company said it raised wholesale prices by 9.7% because its own costs have risen. The candy maker says that the price increase will go into effect immediately. It cited higher costs for raw materials, packaging, fuel, utilities, and transportation as being the causes for the price hike. Please note that the mention of all these packaging costs are probably the only thing in the things that they itemized that aren't directly related to rising costs of foodstuffs and energies. I'm just saying. A Hershey spokesman said that because many retailers will be able to buy products at the old prices for about the next 8 weeks, consumers may not see the impact on their store shelves right away. The announcement comes, of course, before one of the most popular candy consumption holidays, Easter that is, because Americans spend about $2 billion annually to, I guess, fatten their kids up for slaughter, but who knows. Back to you, dear.
Fatten your kids up for slaughter, yikes. It's the wrong terminology right now while I'm considering this federal dollars for some babies' murders bill. Okay, you know, Jerry, and since I guess we're just going to continue hit and run news basically until Daniel arrives, which should be about 10:29, 10:30. I have been reading on Mother Earth News some very interesting stuff about companion planting with your vegetables and flowers. And of course, I have been getting my little seedlings planted. And I did my first batch 3 weeks ago, and then I did my second batch yesterday. And of course, I want plants for my baby pool planters and also plants for my aquaculture planting bed. Mm-hmm. And this article is really fascinating. You know, the Indians used to plant together in the same field corn, pole beans, and squash, maximizing the soil and the needs of the different vegetables. And the way they grew manifested itself in this happy, harmonic, symbiotic relationship. And so I thought I'd throw out some of the Chinese agricultural research that their manner of pairing plants. Onions with leafy vegetables followed by green beans and Chinese cabbage or spinach. Potatoes with leafy vegetables followed by green beans and Chinese cabbage or spinach. Spring kale with radishes, followed by celery and tomatoes. Spring spinach, followed by lima beans and tomatoes. Double rows of corn, alternated with single rows of peppers. And a double row of garlic with spinach down the center. And strawberries with watermelon. That one kind of surprised me. Also, of course, growing a lot of flowers with certain herbs thrown in, such as basil, garlic, chives, and oregano, can be very helpful to discourage pests. We did that when I was a kid, and we were farming and had a huge garden. We actually used cement block to kind of outline the outer edges of the whole garden. And inside the cement block, when it's turned on its side, has those two openings, and we would plant marigolds and herbs and all sorts of things that really helped reduce pests on the plants. So there you have it.
And bees just love the basil. They do. They're wonderful to plant strategically in your garden to draw the bees in.
Yes, very, very good point, Jerry. That's very
supposedly, growing basil in amongst your tomatoes enhances the flavor of the tomatoes. Jury's still out on that one, although we did try that last summer.
Well, eating the tomatoes with the basil is so happy. My mouth is watering. And of course, we ran out of grocery dollars before we ran out of month. So the Hodges children are rejoicing that tomorrow a new month and grocery budget begins. So, you know, it's especially enticing, the idea of fresh tomatoes.
That reminds me of my days as an Air Force brat. Feast the first, fast the last.
Usually I do a better job of divvying up the dollars, but I think we had company a lot this month, and I didn't do as much work in the kitchen and planning ahead, so I purchased more convenience foods, and I think that ate up the budget. Oh well, there's been a lot of oatmeal and beans and rice happening while John's out of town. I just kind of load up the crock pot, and they have to eat off of it for lunch and dinner until it's gone.
Wow.
Well, we're going to cut away to a break. We'll be back in a moment. This is Freedom Frenzy. Y'all stay tuned.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, comrades, we've just been informed that our guest for today is on board, so let's not waste any further time and bring him on. Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, good morning. And sounding like I'm on board, I feel like I should be wearing like a hat like Captain and Tennille or something.
Well, this is the Good Ship Freedom Frenzy, and we're kind of all in the same boat here together, Daniel. You're after the same things that we're after. We're just maybe taking a little different tack. Don't you just love me throwing all those nautical terms in there?
Well, Daniel, I do. I don't know whether to say hi or ahoy.
Aye, matey. Daniel, would you please begin by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes. My name is Daniel Miller, and I'm president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, and we're the largest and oldest organization dedicated to the freedom and independence of Texas.
Okay. Now let us know something about Daniel.
What about you, Daniel?
What do you do?
Are you married? Do you have kidlets? Do you live
I
on
do. I do. I okay. So if we're going to go through the personal exploration, I can do that. It's rare, but very few people ask me about me. It's kind of an unusual thing. But I am married. My wife Kara and I are the Brady Bunch. We have six children between us. We don't have an Alice though, which makes it pretty difficult. makes the chore chart very important in the household. But we own a business. We're actually in the music business and have been since 2005. And we're freedom lovers. I've been involved in the whole pursuit of Texas independence for 15 years. I've always been a politically aware individual, and I have to attribute that to my folks. Being raised in a household with older parents who went through the Depression, I got to play witness every night to Dad's tirades against the evening news, aka what the government was doing.
Any shoe-throwing there?
There was no shoe-throwing, but, you know, it does something to a child when every day he hears, you know, somebody really needs to do something about this. And, you know, going out there and putting out campaign signs with Dad for various candidates here and there the whole time I was growing up, it led me to be, you know, fairly civic-minded, you know, to understand what was going on and to pay attention. And, you know, it was probably much to his chagrin that when I was 18 years old, I ran for mayor of my hometown because I,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
So I knew, you know, that if you want to make a difference, you got to kind of seize the opportunity and you got to start taking some personal responsibility. So I ran for mayor of my hometown when I was 18 years old, and you know, the rest is history. I lost, which is not uncommon in that town for someone that actually has a platform or ideas to lose. But, you know, it did spark some awareness, and I have been engaged, you know, on the political level since I was a child. So, that's just carried over through my entire life. You know, being a small business owner, you have to be aware. Just walking through and living in society nowadays, you have to be aware of your surroundings and what's going on, because – you know, I recently wrote a book. It was just released last month, called Line in the Sand. And the whole statement of the line in the sand at the tail end is that if we don't write the future, it will be written for us.
Yeah.
And it really speaks to that personal responsibility. So there's a little peek at the inside of what goes on in the mind of Daniel Miller. It wasn't too scary.
What? If you don't mind me asking, Daniel, what political party do you see yourself most closely aligned with?
I'm not a party guy. You know, I will tell you this. My dad was, he was an iron worker for 35 years. He retired as an iron worker, and he was, you know, as most people were in Texas in that era, and being an iron worker, he was a union guy, and so he was a Democrat. But he was not, I guess that was, you know, I guess in the variety of a yellow dog Democrat is what he was. But when I began to see inconsistencies as I was growing up with what he was saying, what was coming out of his mouth and what was coming out of the party. So I never affiliated or saw myself aligned with the Democratic Party, but I also didn't see myself aligned with the Republican Party either, because I had an incident early on. I guess I was a very young adult. It was not too long after I ran for mayor, where I attended a meeting and some guys handed me a copy of the Constitution, a copy of the Communist Manifesto, and said, see which one, you know, read the Constitution and know what it's supposed to be, and then read the Communist Manifesto and see what that reminds you of. And you know, begin to see the inconsistencies there between, you know, the way that the country was being run, i.e. looking at the Constitution, and then realizing by looking at the Communist Manifesto that, you know, so many parts of the Communist Manifesto were in play in the United States, but yet the country was supposed to be railing against communism. We were taught that was the bad thing. So, it just became one of those things where I cannot identify with a political party. I identify with a set of beliefs. And if there's a quote unquote political party out there that just happens to align with that, then, you know, we're going to be in agreement. And if not, I'm going to continue to believe what I believe, and those guys can take a hike.
Well, Daniel, I definitely appreciate that perspective. And I always like to get the personal point of view because, quite frankly, I like to know you walk the walk, and having a half dozen children and being a freedom fighter is a whole different ball of wax. And I have six children. I'm a stay-at-home homeschooling mom. And I've also run campaigns and done all sorts of fun, crazy stuff and dragged my kids in front of prenatal murder mills and the whole bit. So I think it adds legitimacy to what you're trying to do and are doing through the Texas Nationalist Movement. Now, can you give us a little bit of background on when the Texas Nationalist Movement was first founded And also, can you tell us something about the history of Texas? Because Texas is different than the other states in the Union. And I would like you to clarify for us that difference and why that that plays into the Texas nationalist movement.
Wow, these are two really large questions. Let me take the
you got an hour.
Yeah, let me take the one about the organization first. Many of the listeners, and you guys are probably both aware of the movement that kicked off back in 1995 and 1996 that was called the Republic of Texas, and you know how mm-hmm. that ended pretty badly. Well, what most people are not aware is that the Republic of Texas, when it started off back in 1995, it was primarily a political movement. Now, unfortunately, and much to the chagrin of about 98% of the people who signed on back in 95 and 96, it strayed from that aspect of being a political movement and, of course, lost virtually everybody that was out there. And also, the other thing to bear in mind is it was not the only organization working for Texas independence back then. So you go through this entire series and succession of different organizations from that time period, and you get to a point in about 2002 when everything started to come together, but there was an effort to begin to unify all of the independence movements, basically put the past behind. Look, we don't care where you came from, we don't care what you were engaged in, but if you believe in this concept of independence and freedom for Texas, then what we want to do is we want to establish a unified organization to pursue these goals. And it was out of the traditions of all of those different groups, not just the Republic of Texas, but all the groups that were out there at the time, that the Texas Nationalist Movement was born. So we trace our heritage and our lineage all the way back to 1995. But, you know, as far as the incarnation that you have it now as a viable, actual political organization, you can go back to 2002 to find the roots.
Okay. Oh, well, just out of curiosity, how did you get involved with the organization?
Well, obviously my dad must be on my mind today, because I hate to reference him again for fear of beating a dead horse here, but one of the things that was kind of an unspoken thing in our household as I was growing up was that, you know, we were Texans. And, you know, so there was this kind of undercurrent that no matter what, you're a Texan. And throw that in the background with what began to be a serious political awakening for me, which was, you know, watching kind of the futility of the current political situation and learning more about the Constitution and learning more about where the federal government had strayed, and then trying to be active in actually trying to make a difference in realizing the futility of the system based out of D.C. And so when someone first proffered the concept that the solution that would fix all these things, instead of jousting at individual issues, the thing that would really fix all of these problems in totality for us, related to the federal government, was Texas independence. And I latched onto that thing, you know, like a Shelley Winters at a Golden Corral buffet. I mean, it was very attractive. And you can imagine, you know, when you have something that is a total solution, when all of us have been out there for the longest time trying to fight these individual issues one at a time, it was very attractive. So, mm-hmm. you know, I jumped in, I went whole hog with it, and I've been engaged in that ever since.
Okay, now tell me why is Texas different? Why can Texas secede even in a post-Civil War world? What sets her apart from the other states of the Union?
Well, we're cool. That's first.
Amen!
That's what's interesting about it. You know, here in Texas, we have a feeling that, by and large, we are all that in a bag of chips and a Route 44 drink from Sonic. I mean, there is that feeling. There's a certain bravado and a swagger. But, you know, I'm gonna break it down and make it very easy for everyone and take everyone off the hook that has a serious case of Texas envy. The right of self-determination exists no matter what state you are in, and it goes back to the very foundation of the Union. The Union was founded as a union of nation states. Okay, it is that they were called states back then, and you can go point back to the Declaration of Independence and understand to the founders what the word state meant. you know, what it conveyed. But it is literally, if you look at the United Nations, give me the boo and the hiss because I can't stand those guys. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the United Nations, as the United Nations is, so the United States was supposed to be. A union of individual nation states that had come together to found a federal government for the purpose of carrying out functions collectively of its constituent nation states. So Texas, although we have a history as an independent republic, in relationship to the Union, we are no different than any other state in that all states have the right of self-determination and can seek independence if they so choose.
That's a very good answer, because I've actually, since our family just recently moved here to Texas from the communist state of Georgia, and I hear people all the time, oh, Texas is a good place to be. They're different than the rest of the states because they can secede. And, you know, the right of self-determination isn't restricted to even a state. It's down to the individual. And the absolute right to life, liberty, and property is number one. And so this idea that we are striving against today, that somehow the collective will of the masses can generate to the civil government a godlike autonomy over our present and our future.
Right. Well, you get down to, in some shape, form, or fashion, since the founding of the Texas Republic back in 1836, in every governing document that Texas has had, there has been the equivalent of what is now Article 1, Section 2 in our state constitution. Article 1 is our Bill of Rights. You know, we were so serious about rights here in Texas, we stuck it at the beginning. But the current constitution that we live under here in the state was written post-Civil War, which should give you some insight into, you know, what the thinking was at the time. But Article 1, Section 2 of our current state constitution says that all political power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit. And the people have at all times the inalienable right to reform, alter, or abolish their form of government in any such manner as they may think expedient. It all drills down to the micro level, which is the individual. And one of the things that we go around and we teach people and we share with people and try to wake them up to is the fact that the power is in their hands. You know, nations, the thing about it is you go back down to the fundamental level and you realize that a state is a physical manifestation, a geographic manifestation of a nation. And a nation is constituted of the people. So if you want your nation and your nation state to be independent, you first have to be able to be free and independent. And that's one of the reasons we go out and we say, look, we're teaching the sheep to be shepherds, and it's not an easy job.
Okay, so tell me then, do you view the Texas Nationalist Movement, you said it's a political movement, but do you focus more on education, or do you run campaigns? Do you teach people how to protect themselves from the bureaucratic court system?
We have a really broad mandate. I mean, if you look at our mission statement, it's pretty straightforward, is that we seek to secure and protect the political, cultural, and economic independence of the nation of Texas, to secure and protect a constitutional republic and the individual rights of Texans. That's what we do. And so every activity that we engage in is in fulfillment of that mission. And so we operate in a political realm, but we also understand that the political, the cultural, and the economic work as a tripod in a synergistic relationship, in the sense that you can work for your political independence, but if you haven't secured your cultural and economic independence, your political independence will never last. And it's also the same way as if you secure your cultural independence but don't have your political independence or your economic independence, then that can in turn overwhelm the other independence. So all three are absolutely critical. Maintaining freedom and independence on all three of those levels is extremely critical to the preservation of the others.
Daniel, would you mind giving me a mind's eye view, your personal opinion if you want, of whom, even if just tacitly, you feel as though your organization represents and what you feel as though the numbers of supporters you actually have there in Texas might be?
Well, I'll tell you, it was always kind of a pig and a poke for us, you know, to know how many people out there supported it, because the concept of independence is inextricably linked to the concept of secession. And honestly, I have no fear of the word secession, because it is primarily a description of a political process. So I don't fear that word. But you know, we did not know for sure until April of 2009. You know, we had an idea. But in April of 2009, something interesting happened. And, you know, as the state sovereignty movements began to pop up around, of course, you know, here in Texas, it really jumped up in a fairly dramatic fashion. And during one of the Tea Party rallies, some of our members there were at one in Austin, and where Governor Perry was speaking, and they began to chant secede while he was speaking. And so the reporters engaged him on the question and asked him about it kind of half-heartedly, and he gave an answer which suddenly ripped the taboo off of the issue. Mm-hmm. So this conversation that people were having in back rooms of cafes and places like that or around kitchen tables suddenly went mainstream. Well, the Daily Kos went to Research 2000 and commissioned a poll, and I hear the music, so I know that we'll get to it on the other end of it, but I'll tell you the results of the poll here in a moment.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053, because we're going to let a million people try new Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, comrades, we're talking with Daniel Miller of the Texas Nationalist Organization. And I don't want to waste any time talking about Daniel. I'd rather him to tell us what's going on. So if you would, Daniel, please pick it up where you left off.
Sure thing. And sorry about running into that transition so hard. But
hey,
you did an excellent job.
professional.
Well, thanks. I've got radio experience. I do a radio show, so I know when the breaks come, you got to go. But anyway, as I was saying, there was a poll. Daily Coast commissioned Research 2000 to do a poll here in Texas to see how many people agreed with, you know, Perry's statement, as they put, that Texas would be better off as an independent nation. And what they did, their intention was to really kind of show him up, you know, to say, you know, he's a fringe guy or whatever. And I got my own problems with Rick Perry, so don't even get me started on that deal. But,
well, that's good, because I got a mother load myself. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other show. But what was interesting was the results of the poll. When they did the breakdowns, they said that 48% of Republicans, 40% of independents, and 15% of Democrats agreed that Texas would be better off as an independent nation. Well, that was April of 2009, and those are pretty significant figures. So what we did was we took the demographics and we applied them to the actual averages of general election results to see what the breakdowns would be. So our estimation is somewhere between 4 million and 6 million Texans as of April 2009 felt that Texas would be better off as an independent nation. So we have a pretty good idea that support is pretty high, and I know that since April of 2009, that percentage has probably gone up considerably.
So, well, that then begs the question, Daniel, what sort of support for your initiative do you have inside the existing state government?
Well, I will tell you, we spent during the last session of the legislature, for the listeners out there that are not aware of how our legislature works, because of Texans' inherent distrust of government, our legislature is only allowed to meet for 140 days every other year. So we get these long breaks without these guys up there, you know, slapping a bunch of ridiculous laws on us. But during the last session, we were actually invited to testify in favor of the state sovereignty bill, which was kind of a breakthrough for us, you know, to be invited to participate in the process. Since then, we have engaged with state reps, state senators, and even with the governor's office over this issue. And I would say that there is a large amount, I would say maybe large is an overstatement, there is a substantial amount of support in the state government, both elected officials and people that work for the state government, in favor of what we're about. You know, we get encouraging words from those guys on a regular basis, and we interface with them on a regular basis. But where the cow eats the cabbage, though, is when we tried to submit a bill to be filed during this session, calling for a referendum. And, you know, there was a lot of political machinations behind the scenes, threats from apparently the Speaker of the House that if anybody filed our bill that he would kill the rest of their bills. You know, and there is there's like this wall of fear that they have not broken through yet. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a contingent of elected representatives, elected officials in Texas that are aware of the situation, that the United States is the Titanic and that it's taking on water, and the preparations are being made for the inevitable independence of Texas. I don't even say the possibility. It is an inevitability, and the preparations are being made.
Well, maybe then give us an idea that maybe folks in other states could use as a model. And this may have been a wonderful lead-in question, but I'm glad we saved it till now. What's it going to take for Texas to leave the Union?
And hold off on answering, Daniel, if we do have to cut away to another break. But definitely, I hope that you guys are just drawing up the blueprints for what everyone else is going to follow suit in. This is Freedom Frenzy. We've got Daniel Miller from the Texas Nationalist Movement. Stay tuned.